meeting. It is Tuesday, September 10, 2024, 6 p.m., and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Ray and Lietta DeBoard. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Let me change the minutes. Right in. Okay. Yes. Assembly members Robbins?
Here.
Morrison?
Here.
Audison?
Here.
Dalrymple?
Here.
Powell, DeBoard?
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Here. Item two, ceremonial matters. You want to make the announcement here, please?
We do have one. So one of the new things we're looking at doing each month is kind of highlighting and recognizing an employee for some outstanding contributions. And tonight, that employee's having family dinner. His mom's in town, so we're still going to do it, and we're going to recognize him at our staff tailgate on Thursday. But I'd like to recognize Lane Fitzgerald for a lot of great work this summer. You may have noticed the community center, the City Park Pavilion, the downtown bathrooms, and much, much more. Lane's got a keen attention to detail, really positive all the time, and I'd just like to thank and highlight Lane for all his great work. So thank you, Lane.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
The painting job he does is beautiful.
It is.
Good attention to detail. Item three, persons to be heard. There are no persons to be heard. Four amendments to the agenda. Okay, seeing none. Item five, conflict of interest. Any assembly member have a conflict? Hearing none. Item six, consent agenda. Need a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
Item seven, borough manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to keep it rather brief tonight. We have a pretty light agenda, so we'll move on through it swiftly. Tonight, I'd like to start off with the 2024 voters pamphlet. Each of you guys should have gotten a copy. This will be published on our website, on our social medias. They may take different variations. And we're also looking at doing some videos on social media as well and talking just on an informational context about the building, the project, and what it really relates to. So you have propositions one and two this cycle on the ballot. One is related to assembly compensation, and proposition two is related to the public safety building GO bond that we are looking at issuing and getting approved by the voters. And proposition one pretty much speaks to itself. It just enables the assembly to have a path towards compensation. It doesn't mean that they will be compensated if it passes. It just gives them an option through our code to be able to adopt a process to do so. And proposition two, though, is a little bit more involved, and I'd like to kind of express some of the details of it so everybody's got a keen understanding rolling into the election season, because this will be our last meeting until the October 1st election. So what we have in play right now is we have $2.438 million from Senator Murkowski that we requested for congressionally directed spending CDS requests, and that has flowed through the subcommittee level, through committee, and into the Senate bill. And now we're at the stage now that Congress is going back to the table where they're going to reconcile the House and the Senate's version of the bills, and then hopefully it's adopted. So hopefully we get $2.438 million in congressionally directed spending towards the public safety building. That funding will flow through Rural Development's program and have that agency's requirements, but it will essentially be a $2.438 million grant. That will combine with the prospective issuance of a $3 million bond if approved by the voters. This general obligation bond is classified as such because the public safety building is a governmental activity that is funded, in essence, by tax revenue and non-voluntary tax revenue, non-voluntary revenue in general. So in total, we'll have a $5.438 million project. There will be some interim financing that is used as required by USDA. So in the period of construction, we'll actually have to get financing through a commercial bank. The voters are essentially approving that vicariously through the GO bond issuance. But that's, I don't want to get too into the weeds on that. The $3 million bond is equivalent to $151,000 debt service. It represents about 0.66 mils for all service areas. So 0.66 mils, and essentially every $1,000 would equal 66 cent increase to your property tax bill. So for example, if you had a $300,000 home, your taxes would increase $198 if we're in a place where we had to actually use taxes or increase taxes to fund the debt service. But what we've tried to convey in the voters pamphlet into the community is we don't anticipate using tax increases to fund this debt service. We plan on using our operational surplus that we built in the FY25 budget. If you guys recall, we passed a budget with about a $365,000 operational surplus before funding capital projects. So what that means is essentially take the $151,000 out of that surplus for next year, and that's what we'll have left over for operation, and then we can fund projects beyond that if we wanted to. So I don't want the election to be based on the notion that we're going to raise taxes by 0.66 mils, and kind of cultivate an understanding that we're going to try to do our best to operate within our means and fund this with existing revenue streams and existing levels. Is there any questions on the current bond proposal?
Any questions? In my experience with the budget, we have never run such a lean budget that we could not meet the $151,000 debt obligation per year.
That's annual.
So, yes, that's our annual payout. And there's no penalty for early pay on the principal.
That's correct.
So we could whittle that down.
And how many years, I'm sorry, through the chair?
Yes, it's...
How many years on this bond?
40 years.
40 years, okay.
And this was modeled out at a 4% interest rate, which is the current prevailing market rate for, USDA's published market rate on their website for the Community Facilities Loan Program. We can anticipate that rate dropping with the Fed's actions this September and likely December. We might see 25 basis point drops periodically each quarter, and that will only decrease our interest rate and therefore decrease our debt service. So that's what we're looking at for the public safety building. I would encourage folks to get informed on the building. Again, we'll be releasing some videos about the construction activity that's desired in this phase. It's a really bare bones shell project. We're looking at a roof, a metal roof that's pitched. So the flat portions will be pitched and with the rest of the roof, and then it'll all be covered in metal, and then the siding will be metal siding as well, and then we'll strip out any rot with it underneath the siding that needs to be addressed.
Assemblymember Morrison.
Will that back wall be totally rebuilt?
It will be torn down. So that back wall will all be torn down, and the overhang on the courthouse will be torn down, and that will be renovated as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So the existing footprint will be slightly smaller.
Okay.
And for the public, we tried to go for bonds, $8.5 million bond in 2022, and the debt service on that was something like $667,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've significantly scaled this back. We have an option, a very good chance of getting additional funding through the CDS request from the federal legislator. And we've tried other grant opportunities, and just to remind the public that we can find grants for standalone fire mm-hmm. stations, but we have a combination, fire and law enforcement, and it's difficult to come up with that kind of grants.
It is. It's difficult to find grant funding for any community facility in general. This USDA Community Facilities program is about one of the only ones. You're right that we can get grants through CDBG for fire. That's capped at about $850,000. You know, we've used those for the latest fire truck that we purchased, the Dodge that we purchased a couple years back. But there's really not that many community facilities. It's kind of like roads. There's not a lot of avenues to fund roads and municipal buildings. So this is our best shot. I know that I would also remind the public that the $3.5 million GO bond we issued for the school major maintenance 10 $10 plus million project was not funded by taxpayer dollars, and they really haven't had a GOAT obligation for quite some time in terms of their tax dollars going towards that debt service. So this would be no different, and that's what we're running it on. Okay, great.
Thank
so
you.
That's the voters pamphlet, and we'll have, like I said, several different iterations of reaching out to the public during social media and other videos. I wanted to speak to a few events upcoming. We have the ARFA conference at Nolan Center from September 18th through the 20th. We have a staff tailgate this Thursday on September 12th at 4:30, and assembly is welcome. Mayor's been invited. So this is just going to be celebrating, kind of an informal celebration of all the summer work that we've done and get the team all together. So fun. It's all funded by ourselves. We're not using city money to fund kegs or anything like that. So it'll be a good time to celebrate the staff's accomplishments. Southeast Conference will be September 24th through the 26th. And I know the mayor will be attending, and several members of the staff will be as well. We have our audit has kicked off, and our new finance director, Jackson Bull's, really taken the reins on it. So it's been very, very helpful to have him as part of our crew, and we're working through that. That's going to be a process that takes us well into December, and we're looking for a zero finding year. So we'll keep you posted as we reach critical milestones in the audit. I'd also like to remind the public and those listening that October 15th is our property tax deadline. We're about a month away, a little over a month away. So just a quick reminder, we have a new online software program called Pay It that we'll be unveiling in the next 3 weeks that will help people be able to pay their property taxes online and via credit card. So that'll be helpful as we get into the last few weeks of property tax season. So make sure you get your bills paid in. And then I'd like to briefly talk about the sewer outfall issue that many of us have at the top of mind, and we'll get into that a little bit in the e-session. But generally, we had a identified vessel, tender vessel, anchored near the outfall. We have a sign posted not to anchor there. We have the outfall on NOAA navigation maps. They're even on printed charts. That's no anchor zone. And that vessel anchored there, drug anchor. It was a bit stormy that night, and got their anchor hooked up on our outfall. It ripped our outfall. We have like really good sonar footage of what it's done to our outfall. It's basically created a big kink in the line and drug it way to the south. We're currently doing a preliminary damage assessment to understand if we can repair the line as it exists or if we have to replace it in total. We currently, to address the issue, had to cut the line at City Park Beach to prevent an overflow of our settling pond at the wastewater treatment plant. It kind of worked the opposite way. Tom had called me up around 5 p.m. on a Saturday, and our settling pond's overflowing, and we've never seen this before, and what's going on? And then sooner or later, we got a call from our Forest Service LEO saying that he'd received a call from a tenderman saying that he'd hooked up on the line. So we put two and two together in swift action by the wastewater treatment plant group led by Jeffrey Davidson to make that call and cut the line, and that was really prudent action to prevent an overflow of partially treated sewage on Dismovia Highway. And there would have been a lot of consequences associated with that. So currently we are dumping treated wastewater onto just north of City Park Beach there. We have the beach restricted to access. There's no recreating or clam digging or anything permitted at this time. We've got PSAs out there. It's on the radio. It's on the newspaper. But we ask people to refrain from the area. City Park's still open. We'll be, like I said, having our staff tailgate there on Thursday. But generally, that's where it is. We'll be working through the vessel owner has been very cooperative, really gracious throughout the process. We're working through that with the insurance company, and we'll talk a bit more about that later tonight. So just a general update. Does anybody have any questions on the sewer outfall?
Assembly Member Morrison.
I did, but you answered it. Didn't
okay. You? Okay. Great. Moving on, we've made some really great progress, and a number of staff and the mayor have sat in on one-on-ones regarding our EOP and the redraft of the EOP. Katmai Solutions is the consultant we're working with. They intend to have a first draft of the EOP done in October and then a final draft in December. Our LEPC, or Local Emergency Planning Committee, will meet this next Thursday, the 19th, to discuss the fruition of the EOP plan, and then also kind of do an internal capacity assessment for each of our agencies to understand where's the bottlenecks in Wrangell's response, what resources does everybody have to bring to the table, and then we'll create a master list of all the resources that each agency has and locations and how they're being maintained. So we really have a comprehensive approach to public safety, and that will be embedded as an appendix within our EOP. So we're really excited to get that off the ground. I know that was a major goal of the assembly. We also recently just signed a PSA with Katmai Solutions to do our hazard mitigation plan, and it was $15,000, so a pretty darn good deal. It keeps us in compliance with FEMA and other regulatory agencies. It also makes us eligible to apply for grants that will be due in 2025. When we need to prove to FEMA that we've overhauled it, as our plan will expire, that was drafted in 2020. So excited to get those two things going, and we should see meaningful progress on the EOP. Like I said, be done in December. Hazard mitigation plan takes 6 to 9 months, so between June and September of next year should be done. And we have some light up crosswalks we're still working on. We got some lost solar panels we've been tracking down. We may have to consult the vendor to make sure they actually sent them, but we're going to get those up near the school areas, one in front of the middle school, one in front of the elementary school. We have them. You may have noticed the speed limit signs. We talked about that last meeting, so a great contribution. We're also making moves on our four-way stop. Mr. Weeder and Dwight Yancey, Gene Meeker, police chief, have all met on top of City Market Hill or St. Michael Street and discussed options, so we have a plan to move forward with that. We're just procuring materials and looking at executing. So probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks down the line, you can expect something there. Hopefully in advance of the winter months, so we can get condition people before they have to abruptly stop on ice. The elementary school painting contract, I talked with a few folks about this offline, but generally we made a little bit of an accident when we proposed the contract. We didn't do a thorough analysis on the major maintenance scope of work that was submitted to DEED for the $10 million school project. The elementary school painting job is embedded as part of the scope of work, and therefore we can't sole source that that project as it is. So we have not signed that contract, and we'll be reaching out to the contractor to create a contingency plan, likely, which is going to consist of taking that project out to bid again, more in a comprehensive fashion with all the other aspects of the scope of the project. So I apologize for that oversight error, but you know, I don't think they're going to paint too much in the fall. It's already getting crisp out in the morning, and I guess there's quite a bit of rain in the forecast. So we'll work through that, but I just wanted to give you guys a brief note on that. Other than that, lots of projects going on and lots of onboarding. We've had, you know, 5 new directors start in the last 9 months, and we've had we have $75 million of projects in the works, and the team and I will be rigorously planning this fall and into the winter months to try to take advantage of as much as we can this next summer. So if you guys have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them, but I'm going to leave it at that tonight.
Any questions? Assembly Member Morrison.
Just a quick one. Have you figured out a way to paint the south end of the old gym? You haven't figured out how to?
Not yet. I think the plan is to paint as far up as we can with
ladders,
yeah, mm-hmm. And then we'll have to figure out how we can reach the upper portions just because of the regulations with the asbestos paneling. We just need to be careful. We can't adhere into that paneling, so we just need to get creative. I have no doubt that we'll be able to do it, but mm-hmm. We might have to call on an outside contractor. I think that on the north side we can get that, and then the very back of it we can get that mm-hmm. ourselves, but mm-hmm. In between the two buildings is going to be a little bit rough, but I thought it would just be nice to get as much as we can and cut it off. I don't think it's going to happen this year, though, unfortunately, but Lane's buttoning up the most of the like accessories, like the railings and all the things, and he's doing some color matching, and he's got the stain on all the wood just to protect it throughout the winter, so... We'll get it.
Yeah, I was just curious because I knew there was an issue there.
It's going to be a little challenging, but we'll figure it out.
Yep.
Great. And the water treatment plant is still ahead of schedule?
Yeah, water treatment plant's still tracking, still within our budget, and really thank McGraw and Dow for all their work so far and all the staff time. We'll have a more detailed report in October about the status of the water treatment plant, but we're kind of closing in on the final 6 months here, so
right.
Really excited.
Great. Good. Any other questions? Okay, good report. Item 8, Borough Clerk's report.
So I don't have a lot other than what's in my report. I do want to note that I have the Nixol link for people that are not signed up to go to our website and subscribe. It's really important to subscribe to Nixol so we can alert you when there is a hazard or something going on. Also, October 5th is tax-free day. So just a reminder for the community on that. Absentee voting for the local election, the October 1st election, will start on September the 16th. And then for upcoming, the general election, the presidential election, absentee voting will be here in the assembly chamber starting on October 21st. So, and that will be all the way up to the Monday preceding the general election. So, and if anybody wants an absentee ballot for either, just come in and see me and I can help you out with that. And of course, you can, for the local election, you can vote by fax, by email, by mail, and of course in person, which is fantastic. So, I have a copy of the ballot in here. For the boards and commissions, I have half of the seats that, for the half of the seats that are up have already put their names back in. So, looks like just like three seats are still pending, and I will start advertising for that shortly. And other than that, that's all.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Any Assembly member have anything to report? Assembly Member Robbins.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. There have been a lot of conversation and questions regarding the school district and the potential electric bus being acquired through the grant. That was voted down yesterday on a 3-2 vote. It could potentially return in a future board meeting, but at this point there was no moving forward with the electric bus at the school district. Another one, this one's gonna, I meant to tell you this earlier. There is a national call to action for voting, especially in local elections, September 27th to October 5th. Our organization put out a call for artists. 10 artists would be selected to win $1,000 and have their art represented throughout that week. One of them lives here. Videl Baker was one of the winners. She's also a member of WCA and the Tlingit Tribe. So we will be hosting an event here around that. I'll have more details at the end of next week, but I just realized that by the next assembly meeting, it'll be nearly over. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knew about that.
That's good. Thank you. Good news. Any other reports? Item 10, Mayor and Assembly Appointments. We have none, and that brings us to item 11A, Public Hearing. Ordinance number 1064 of the Assembly of the Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing and replacing certain sections of Chapter 5.10, Purchase and Sales, in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I will request an administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't know that we have a ton of people ready to speak to this one tonight. But three notable changes to the Procurement Code. The first thing is threshold changes. Purchases that may be made in the open market range from $1 to $24,999. Three quotations are required for any purchase at $25,000 all the way to $49,999. And then competitive bidding it from $50,000 and up is required, other than items that may be approved as a sole source item through the assembly, which we try to do in rare circumstances that are deemed impractical or impossible. Bidding process adjustments. So there's been a change in our procurement code to allow for acceptance of bids through email, and that's essentially how that'll function. Is a contractor that is bidding on a job will submit password protected documents, and we won't request that password until the bidding due date and time, and we'll get that verbally over the phone. We'll then open up documents. It allows for a little bit more seamless process when we've traditionally always received mailed sealed bids, and that can be a little bit problematic with FedEx, as we've found out in multiple cases, and we want to move swiftly, and I think this is a good step in the right direction. There'll also be some language adjustments regarding exemptions and professional services. It gives the manager a little bit broader authority in terms of professional services that are allowable and subject to competitive bidding. Emergency circumstances as we encounter in the landslide will still remain as an acceptable deviation from the traditional procurement code. And that we comment a little bit more about what types of professional services require the three quotes or the competitive bidding and which ones don't. So this, we kind of talked about this, is the second reading, but if right. you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right. I'll open up the public hearing, and detecting no public comment, I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1064.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Otteson, second by Morrison. Any discussion, assembly? This is the second reading, this code change. Any comment, assembly member Dalrymple?
No comment, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 12, unfinished business. There is none. Item 13, under new business. Item A, ordinance number 1066 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 3.52.045, regular meetings in chapter 3.52, Parks and Recreation Board, to amend the meeting requirements in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1066 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on October 8th, 2024.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Otteson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 1066 is effectively a change to allow the Parks and Rec Advisory Board to do quarterly meetings instead of monthly. Often there's times where they don't have enough business to consider to warrant monthly meetings, so this would allow and provide for meetings to occur in March, June, September, and December with the option to add additional meetings if necessary. So more of a housekeeping item, but I think it's important to be cognizant of our volunteer board's time and make sure there's enough business for them to consider.
Yeah, similar to our Economic Development Board.
Similar, yeah.
Yes. Any questions or comments, assembly? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, approval to cancel the September 24, 2024 regular assembly meeting and hold only one meeting in September.
Move to approve canceling the September 24th, 2024 regular assembly meeting and only holding one meeting in September.
Second.
Okay, motion by Otteson, second by Morrison. And for the public, the explanation for this is?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the mayor and I will be attending Southeast Conference along with several staff members. That occurs during the second meeting slated in September on the 24th. So we're going to go ahead and cancel that one with the Assembly's blessing and have this be our only meeting in September.
Any comment, question? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, approval to cancel the November 23, 2024 regular assembly meeting and hold only one meeting in November.
Move to approve canceling the November 23, 2024 regular assembly meeting and hold only one meeting in November.
Second.
So motion by Morrison, second by Otteson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a cancellation of the second meeting in November related to Thanksgiving holiday. That is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. A lot of families will be in town, and therefore we're going to go ahead and cancel this one as well, if the Assembly allows.
And we've done this in the past when it's mm-hmm. fallen on this date. Any comment? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, approval to reschedule the December 10, 2024 regular assembly meeting to be held instead on December 3, 2024.
Move to approve rescheduling the December 10th, 2024 regular assembly meeting to be held instead on December 3rd, 2024.
Second. Okay. Motion by Otteson, second by Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've actually just decided we're not going to have any assembly meetings at all this year. this will be our last one of the year. No, just kidding. We will be rescheduling the December 10th meeting to December 3rd because myself, the mayor, and members of staff will be attending the last Municipal League Conference or AGFOA or the Clerk's Conference. Actually not. But there's a lot of people going to be out of town, and so we'll reschedule for the 3rd.
Any comments, questions? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
That's what I promise.
Item 14, attorney's file is located in the borough clerk's office. Item 15, executive session to discuss a possible litigation matter with the borough attorney and borough manager and Tom Weider, public works director.
I move pursuant to 444-62-310B and C1 that we recess into executive session to discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough and to discuss matters pertaining to the borough's legal position, more specifically a potential litigation matter.
Second. Okay, so motion by Robbins, second by Morrison. Any discussion, Assembly? Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Members Otteson?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We will recess into executive session at 6:32 p.m.